Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
The right hand puts him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall and Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On Talk Sport.
Hello and welcome to another Fight Night podcast with me, Gareth A. Davies, and my old buddy, Adam Catterall. Well, we have a fantastic show for you this week, starting with Richard Ryakpour up soon against Christoph Glowacki. Richard is going for a massive 2023.
People want to see KOs. People want to see explosive fires. I want to be the face of boxing. And I know what it demands. It demands explosive finishes, highlight reel, KOs. And that's what I want to deliver. I want to do all that. And I want to give the fans what they want. Pure entertainment, you know, a little bit of boxing skill, but big KOs. And we're definitely going to go on for the kill for Glowacki.
He can be a cagey, awkward opponent as well. And he's southpaw, and we know he's got some power. I mean, without asking you the game plan, I mean, pressure on him in this fight?
Yeah, absolutely. Always intelligent pressure. As you can see, he's like a cat, you know. You come too close and you play too much, you scratch you. You know?
That crouched, weird style, and
it's a weird type of style. You don't.
Yeah,
it's a very unique style. You know, it's like lay on your back foot. But I feel like that probably suited him earlier in his career. I think it'll take too much time to just come back and cower off that shot and land shots against me. But you never know. He might be faster than I think. You just never know. But I'm going to be extra cautious. I'm going to feel him out. And then when I sense blood, I'm going to take him out. If he makes any mistakes, I'm taking him out straight away.
Is there pressure off you in a sense that Chris Eubank Jr. and Liam Smith are headlining and that this is a very important fight to set up your year, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of pressure on me. I'm used to the pressure, you know, Gareth, like throughout my whole career, you know, I never had a silver spoon or anything, but I had to create a position for myself by winning and no matter what. And I'm used to it going into those fights where, you know, it's 50-50, sometimes it's even 40-60 to my opponent. And it's like, look, I have to just win. If I don't win, who knows what's going to happen next? Who knows where I'm going to go? Or if I'm going to even have a career after this fight. And that's all I'm focused on, pretty much. I put a lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, it reflects my training, reflects in my mindset and how much I dedicate to this. And I'm confident at the same time because I put pressure on myself. And, you know, in preparation, I make sure I give him my all. And I've received some good results from doing this. I understand the way this works now and my gifts. So I'm confident and I know that I'll get the win.
But one of the things that you and I have spoken about even over the last 2 years is, and you've shown it, that you do soak information, criticism, you soak everything up like a sponge.
Yeah, I think that's what makes the fighters better.
You're not emotional about it is what I mean. You don't get... Some people emotionally get themselves emotionally involved, but you seem to remove the emotion from it.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm human as well, Gareth. Sometimes I do kind of get emotional, but it's not that type of emotion where I would be looking for the person, the critic, and wanting to have a back and forth with them. It's not like that. It's more like I use it as fire in me to train harder and to improve what they're talking about, because sometimes some of these critics are right. He doesn't have no footwork. He's flat-footed. He doesn't throw enough. He's he looks like he doesn't have too much stamina. Sometimes you have to go back and look at the fights and say, you know what? They actually have a point right there. Mm-hmm. They might not know what went on in camp or if there was an issue with my body. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that they've said, which is right. And all I do is just go back and just work on it. It's just that simple. And what happens is with me, most of the people that have critiqued me in the past, I've actually gone back to thank them because it's actually made me a better boxer and made me win in a certain fashion just because of that critique, you know. So I open it. I'm my biggest critique, to be honest. You know, every time I jump in the ring, you can ask Angel, I'm like, what do you think about that? And he's like, no, it's good. But in my mind, I'm like, I don't believe you. I'll ask him twice. And then I still think that's not good enough. So that's how I kind of keep myself improving.
Brilliant mindset. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's just not good enough. I always just think it's just not good enough. Even some of the wins, you might see me after the fight. I might be smiling. I might not be smiling, but I just feel like I need to do better. I can do better. You know, that's just my mindset.
How pleased were you when Lawrence Okolie signed with Boxer and obviously is on Sky as well?
I think that was excellent. I think it's amazing what's going on right now because there's a stable of fighters all in the same division under the same broadcaster, which is perfect to make fights. We both know how difficult this game is to create fights, especially when two fighters are representing two different broadcasters. It's nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. We never see them fights materialize and the fans don't have a clue what's going on. They just want to see a fight. It just puts them off. That's why they probably start to watch different sports like UFC and other things, because it's just the political side and the business side. It gets annoying. But in this case, it's working out really well. There's great cruiserweights underneath one banner. So the fights are going to be easy to make. It's just going to be a discussion of the monetary benefit, and that's it.
Are there plans in place for you and Lawrence to fight this year?
Gareth, you know what? This game is just, it's crazy. Sometimes there's obstacles in front of us, which, you know, just disappear after a while, and then we can make things happen and vice versa. Sometimes there's no obstacles, and then next thing you know, we come there now. Where it's time to make the fight, and then there's some next issues that arise. So I just have a type of mindset that I want to be a world champion this year, and I don't mind who's got the titles, because it's, you just have to fight, isn't it? If you get the opportunity, you just have to go for it. And I want big fights this year, Gareth. Like, I want big fights in this year, and I've got my mind focused on every single champion there is. And also, people in the rankings, I've got my eyes on all of them. So I'm more than willing to make that happen this year. I'm up for it. You know me, I don't shy away from battles. Mm-hmm. And so I think if things go well, you know, with Okolie's side, with the business, and I don't know what issue's going through now. It seems like it's on track now. Yeah, we can definitely start mixing it.
Well, from one cruiserweight to another, but Jack Massey stepping up to heavyweight very soon against none other than former world champion, WBO champion, Joseph Parker. But Jack the Smack Massey also doubles, of course, as a scaffolder. We had a bit of a joke about what I call poles, but he says are tubes.
Talk to me about heavyweight. Was it a plan, or is it because the opportunity to fight someone like the former champion in Joseph Parker came along and you've just gone, here we go, in for a penny, in for a pound, let's go, let's roll the dice and let's see what happens.
Pretty much Bob on there, mate, yeah. So we got the call, the phone call, about 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago now. And I was on the scaffolding side at the time, working with my brother. Freezing cold, -6, got the phone call off my manager, Kevin Marie, and it was a pretty much yes, let's go, straight away. So yeah, you know, it's I'd probably look to move up to heavyweight later on in my career, but you know, I'm still young. But you know, you can't turn a big fight like this down. Massive opportunity.
Jack, you just mentioned there about obviously what we would class as a normal job, and that kind of surpasses a lot of boxing fans. They all think that boxers are rich, They're all earning a good crust. They're all doing the thing, and it's a lucrative game. It's far from that. How difficult has maybe the last 6 to 12 months been for you in this game before this opportunity came along?
Yeah, do you know what? I've been a full time boxer for quite a while now, quite a few years, but it was this year what sort of put me into work. You know, it's been, you know, probably the toughest year of my life this year, inside and outside the ring, and you know, we've had sort of promotion issues and stuff like that, which is you know, all done and dusted now, but won't go into it too much because it's still getting sort of dealt with. But yeah, so I was just doing a few weeks, getting a bit of cash in hand just before Christmas, and we got this phone call. But yeah, boxing, you know, it's not all shiny all the time. It's you know, it's this year I probably earned, you know, probably less than 10% of what I'll be getting for this fight. So,
wow.
Yeah,
as you were saying that, I'm getting some building work done at the moment, and talking to my scaffolders, Jack, about that cold snap on the other side of last year. I hope you weren't up on the roofs when it was -6 and -10.
That Friday when it was about, yeah, it was about -6. That's when I got
frostbite territory, wasn't it?
It literally is, yeah.
You know, it always fascinates. I mean, I was just looking at picture of your button there for 7 seconds, but you've got a fantastic physique. And how much of that is down to those hours with those steel poles? And, you know, everyone I know does groundwork and scaffolding has incredible physiques. And how much of that is down to that?
To be honest, I was only doing 3 weeks scaffolding just before Christmas. Like I said, I've been a full-time professional for probably 5-6 years now. So it was just the 3 weeks. So, but do you know what? It's it does get you strong. That job, it gets really strong.
Definitely,
you know, chucking them tubes. You can't call them poles, by the way. Them scaffolders, not like.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, the tubes. Sorry, sir. I got my terminology wrong.
Yeah. My brother said to me, what are you calling them poles for?
You're a big guy anyway, okay? You know, you've only got one loss to Richard Riakpol. We had Richard on just before you on tonight, and he's looking at world cruiserweight fights this week. Obviously, you're in the world rankings as well, in top 15, and you can set a marker down against Joseph Parker, can't you? I mean, he's been in with some of the what people call the elite fighters. He's been with Anthony Joshua. He's been in with Derek Chisora twice. He's been in with Dillian White. Massive fights. It's a win-win for you, this, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a win-win fight. You know, you get through this, win this. The world's your oyster. You know, it's life-changing stuff. You know, stranger things happen. You know, it could be it's got to be another top 10, 10 ranked fighter. So in the heavyweight division. So, you know, there's another big guy there that wants to come back fight after a loss. So you never know. Stranger things have happened, and you know, if we don't get the decision, but we could put on a good show, drop back down to cruiserweight, campaign at cruiserweight, and there's massive fights to be made there as well.
I think stylistically, when you look at it, Joseph is not the biggest heavyweight. I mean, there's some big lads in that division, isn't there? So from a size point of view, he's not the biggest of heavyweights. He does have the speed. And as you looking at this, he's coming off the back of a defeat, a stoppage defeat to Joe Joyce. He's got
miles on the clock, hasn't he? He's got miles on the clock.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still a young man. Don't get me wrong. He's still a young man. He has. He absolutely has.
I think the pressure's all on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where I was going with that. That's an opportunity for you to jump on him early in front of a Northwest crowd. I know that he's a popular character, but a Northwest crowd there, it's going to be absolutely jumping for you on that particular night to feed off the energy of that night. Like you say, it's a wonderful opportunity.
Definitely, the pressure's on him. Like you say, he's not the biggest of heavyweights. He's the same height as me, 6'4". So yeah, I've sparred with him in the past, and you know, held my own. And you know, we wouldn't be going into this fight if we didn't think we could beat him.
You're called One Smack for a reason, Jack One Smack Massey.
It's a great nickname.
It's a great nickname. It's stuck from a first.
Oh, it's fantastic. Jack One Smack. I just love it. Look, and I'm not going into tubes again. I'm going to go in a different area now, right? Obviously, you were born in... Can you pronounce it for us in Derbyshire, the place you were born, please? And I want the French, if you can do the French-English pronunciation of it.
So it's called, it's Chapelle-en-le-Frith. It's,
if you've never been to Chapelle-en-le-Frith.
Never been to Chapelle-en-le-Frith, nope.
It's beautiful, beautiful area.
You've heard of Buxton, probably. It's about 6 miles away from Buxton. Chapelle-en-le-Frith, it's French for chapel in the forest.
Lovely.
A bit of history.
Listen,
on that one,
Gareth, and if you thought it were cold in London on that Friday, mate, Chapelle-en-le-Frith would have been about minus 20, let alone minus 10. Yeah. It gets a bit snowy up your neck of the woods, doesn't it, mate? Proper job.
I'll go back to what we are talking about, which is your professional career. Talk to me. I'm not asking you to reveal the details on why you've been frozen out since November 2021. Why haven't you advanced more? Why aren't you putting yourself out there more? You know, you've got a lot about you. You're a great character. You know, how about having your own podcast or starting your own, you know, cooking show or, you know, I mean, you know. But come on, give me a reason why you're not out there and as famous as Eddie Hearn.
Do you know what? It's one of them that winning the IBO, that should have skyrocketed. That should have been my break. But unfortunately, it wasn't. You know, obviously, I can't say too much, but it's a promoter's job to get you the fights and get you up there and get you noticed and recognised. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So we've lost those two titles through no fault of my own last year. So. But, I'm just sort of one of them, to be honest, when it comes down to social media. I do bits and bobs, but, you know, I like to do the talking with my hands. And I think the main thing with me is putting on good fights. I like, you know, I want to be known as someone who gets in there and puts on a good show. At the end of the day, it's entertainment, isn't it, boxing? You know, I want to entertain the people and get the good fights.
You do that, mate. And if you think about the card as well that you're involved with on the 21st, you've got Eubank and Smith. That won't be, there won't be shine coming forwards on that top table when it's press conference week. And obviously, Joe likes a little bit of a chat every now and again, and you do too. So it could be quite an entertaining week for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's, I like Joe as a guy. I've got the utmost respect for him. You know, he's a nice guy. He hasn't really had, you know, sort of arguments with people in the past, has he? So, but he's...
Yeah.
We'll have a bit of banter.
Well, look, fair enough, but I'm going to butt in here. I'm not happy with that I'm a laid-back guy, let my hands do the talking. I want some training videos with the tubes,
Let's go Balboa. Balboa in the forest.
Can I say planks? Can I say up on the planks?
That's it.
Up on the board.
Up on the board. All right, I'll use the right terminology. I want some social media training videos with the tubes being lobbed about, caught, twisted, thrown around like wushu sticks.
In the snow.
And then we just want it because it will go viral.
You can come down and film that.
I would love to, Jack. I'm going to talk to our producer. I would love, genuinely, I would love to come
Gareth
and
should do
that.
It with you.
I'm happy to do it.
Jack. Yeah.
I'm good for 5 minutes with the tube, and that's about it.
And we'll leave it at that.
On Heavyweights, Adam and I indulged in what we'd like to see, the pathways, the route maps for the top five in the heavyweight division this year. In fact, pretty much a top 10, but particularly for Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, Joe Joyce, Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua.
Last year, disappointment. Not going to lie about it, not going to sugarcoat it. There's no point in lying to you listening to the show. Last year, the heavyweight division was disappointing on the grand scheme of things because it promised so much. There was a lot of talk, not a lot of walk fingers crossed, 2023 does give us those big, big moments that we can all get extremely excited about, of which then will filter off into other weight divisions. And not only that, we'll be the catalyst for this division to really catch fire. Because as we look at the talent, Gareth, there's a lot of talent there. There really is a lot of talent there. I'm a big fan of the American heavyweight, Jared Anderson. I think he's going to come this year and do some good things. I'm extremely excited to see Deontay Wilder in this conversation again. Anthony Joshua, of course, is always a person that will be part of this conversation. Joe Joyce has had a wonderful back end of 2022, and I hope that he gets to kick on in 2023. And of course, there's Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk, who are the main guys at the top of the tree. Young bucks coming through, like Daniel Dubois. Moses Atuma is going to be making his heavyweight debut at some point this this year. How do you look at this landscape this year? I mean, fingers crossed we get the undisputed fight, but where what are the runners and riders in and around the two top guys going to be doing?
Well, I think you've got to name five guys at the top, and I'm kind of putting these in order in a sense, although a lot of people won't agree with the order. Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, I'm going to go Deontay Wilder, Joe Joyce and Anthony Joshua. Those are five huge names in the division still. Anthony Joshua, even though his star was on the wane a little bit because he only fought once last year, and we were there, of course, on the night when he lost in a really good fight with Alexander Usyk in the Middle East in Jeddah, and, you know, had probably the weight off his shoulders that night as well in some ways. He expressed himself with disdain for his own lack of abilities that night, and want to see him come back. But I think...
How? Let's concentrate on him for a second.
Well, here's what's how the I see
path?
It.
Right. Yeah, what's the path for Anthony Joshua for you?
Here's what I think he's going to do. I think he'll fight Dempsey McKean, the undefeated Australian, who's ranked 10 with the WBO, and I think 11 with the IBF. And that'll be a 2 or 3 round knockout for Anthony Joshua, probably at the O2 Arena, 20,000. He won't be able to get a seat. And then I think early in the summer, he'll fight Dillian White in Joshua White 2. There'll be a lot of interest. I think he'll knock out Dillian White, but I think there'll be drama in that fight. I think it'll be a brilliant build-up. I think they could sell out Wembley for that or take him to a massive football stadium. Maybe it's about time Arsenal got a look in. But I think he'll have a big year this year. It'll be fascinating to see the numbers he does on DAZN. By the way, which I think is interesting. I think Dillian White's a free agent, so that wouldn't be a problem to make. There's a guy called Frank Sanchez who I'd like to see in against Joe Joyce. I think that's a fascinating matchup.
Yeah, I agree. Well, just before you move on the Joshua thing, are you saying two fights this year? Are you saying three fights? What are you saying?
He won't fight three times in a year. He makes so much money. There's no need for him. Well, I know Eddie Hearn has put it out there, Ad, that we'll hear Frank Warren in a little bit as well.
I don't think he's done three fights since 2016.
No, he won't. He's going to make 30
you
million
say that,
a fight.
Though. You yeah. say that, though, but we want to see
activity. Oh, no, I'd love him to.
We want to see these people out, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if he could fight Fury at the end of the year, what an amazing year that would be. Or if he fought even Deontay Wilder at the end of the year, it would be amazing as well.
I think that's the one. I think where Anthony Joshua's at, I feel for him a touch because he's spent such a long period of time in championship fights. He's been defending belts. He's been taking on all challenges. All right. And some fights have materialized, some fights haven't materialized. I have absolutely no problem with him fighting a fighter in McKean that a lot of people will absolutely have no idea who he is. I've no problem with Anthony Joshua going to go and do that for his first fight back, as long as it's in the first quarter of the year, because I want to see the old Anthony Joshua back. I want to see him be that wrecking machine that we all fell in love with. And once that happens, and I strongly believe that it will happen, then I agree, Dillian White is the perfect next fight. Nothing else. No need to talk about championship fights. No need to talk about Fury or Usyk or anything like that. Do the Dillian White fight. And that's a test. So if you can come through a Dillian White fight, again, I would still, in my head, not have any connections towards championship fights. Set up then the eliminator that is Deontay Wilder. That is, for me, the path for Anthony Joshua this year. I highly doubt that we will see him three times just because it's not been the norm for him since 2016. But I'd love it. I'd absolutely love him to have a blowout in 2-3 rounds, a Dillian White slobber knocker, which he comes through, and then into the Deontay Wilder fight at the end of the year. What a wonderful, wonderful calendar year that would be for Anthony Joshua. And if he could be successful in all three, and listen, they're all, some of them are tough, but if he can be successful in all three, then at the start of 2024, we're talking about world championships again.
I think Deontay Wilder is a horrible style for most of the heavyweights out
horrible.
There.
He beats a large percentage of those heavyweights, large percentage of them.
Yeah, I see Frank Sanchez might give him problems as well. He's not that hittable, but I think Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk and Frank Sanchez are difficult opponents for Deontay Wilder. But the problem with him is, as we've seen in two of those fights with Tyson Fury, if Deontay Wilder gets to you, he's still going to put you down. But again, Anthony Joshua...
You were about to talk about Joe Joyce then. I snap you off because I think it's a big year for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big year this year for him.
As it is for, you know, Fury... Joe Joyce, Daniel Dubois, all in the Frank Warren Queensbury stable. Frank's got a job to do. As I say, we're going to hear from Frank in a little bit, aren't we? But he's got a job to do with all of those guys. He's very cagey about who he's going to put Joe Joyce in with. But I think Frank Sanchez is a brilliant fight for Joe Joyce. Keeps him relevant at the top of the division. He's flying high. I don't mind Joe fighting a Flip Hrgović or an Anthony Joshua. I still think it's a brilliant fight, but I think they're going to have to look for someone kind of to challenge Joe and to advance him. I think he's brilliant. I mean, I'd love to see Joe Joyce and Deontay Wilder. Am I making you salivate right now? Because we normally do when we mention those two, don't we?
You know, I love that fight. You know, I love that one. Is there any surprises that you see with championship belts this year? What do you see?
We might see Deontay Wilder against Alexander Usyk if Alexander Usyk beats Tyson Fury. We might see Alexander Usyk go to America to fight Deontay Wilder in Las Vegas.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It would. I mean, we cannot rule out Alexander Usyk beating Tyson Fury. And we can't rule it out. He's so skilled.
I agree.
We may end up with Joe Joyce against Alexander Usyk at Wembley Stadium. There's so many great fights at heavyweight. We just need to see them, Adam.
We do, mate.
Well, we get a little bit self-indulgent here at times, and Boxing News this week put out a New Year's top 10 of requests that they'd like to see changes in boxing. It was so good, we needed to discuss it. Here we go.
In the first edition this year of Boxing News... a fantastic publication. They have a feature in there, which Gareth has highlighted as well, called The 10 Count, and it's New Year's resolutions for boxing. And on there's 10 things that they would like to see materialise in the new year. And there's all sorts of different things in there, from clarity regarding failed drug tests. That was on my list as well. Mm. Aftercare, which I think is a good one. Quality control, return to promoting. You've also got scorecards, undercards, calm down with pay-per-view, rivals must meet before it's too late, heavyweight tune-up fights get in the bin, and sharing is caring. It's actually a really good piece.
It is.
I think there's a lot of boxing fans that will read those 10 points, and it's only two or three lines to highlight what the actual point is that Boxing News are trying to make. But I think every single fight fan will look at that and go, yeah. It's not a major ask. What they're asking for there is not a massive, massive ask. They're not talking a foreign language with it. I think they're talking the perfect language. I think everything on that list is doable, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And well done to Matt Christie, the editor, and Elliot Wurzel, the online editor, for putting that list together. And it's, you know, it's our trade magazine. It's something that the boxing industry reads and the fighters read. I think that clarity regarding failed drug test ad, you know, brought about largely by the Conor Ben Chris Eubank Jr. fight last year. Still waiting, by the way, for transparency and then a resolution on that, which we need sooner rather than later. I like this aftercare idea as well, that, you know, so much money is made in the sport. We're talking about tens of millions, aren't we, in these big heavyweight fights. And the Ringside Charitable Trust are always, as they say, making strides in this department, but there's a deathly silence from the sports power brokers. And, you know, we see it more and more. You know, when we meet the aged fighters who have delighted us in our youths, and as we get older, and as they get older, they need aftercare. They need help. You need pensionable things for them. You need medical care. So that's really important. And the third one's interesting. You and I have got good takes on this. That it's all good and all well and good allowing YouTubers and influencers, they write, to have their fun. But the moment that starts to restrict the earning potential opportunities of proper boxers is the moment you know it's gone too far. Spoiler: that moment has arrived. Shall we discuss that?
Yeah, of course, of course. Listen, I think at the back end of last year, we went along, didn't we? Because TalkSport covered the... I can't remember who he actually fought now. He fought two guys in one night, if you can class it as a fight.
What, KSI? He fought Swarms, and he fought... Oh, that guy that fell over all the time, a Mexican, who was... That's right. He was complaining when he was hit to the head. He was complaining he'd been hit to the knee or the groin or the backside or whatever it was. It was just weird.
Now listen, I agree with the essence of point number three there, the quality control. My take on it was, we went along on that night, obviously, in a working capacity, and my curiosity was quenched that evening, because it's easy to sit on the outside and critique something, but when you haven't experienced it, it's hard to give a proper critique. So going there, experiencing it, being around it, seeing the demographic that turns up to these types of events was a real eye-opener, because there's a lot of young people, big groups, lads and girls, going out on the nights out, turning up to see these celebrities, I won't call them celebrity fighters, the celebrities that are involved in the game of boxing, using boxing as a vehicle to obviously propel themselves forward. And the things that I found really fascinating were that these young kids, 16, 17, 18, I say young kids, that's be sounding patronizing as an old man, but 16, 17, 18 year old groups of people, they turned up for the first fight. They were in their seat, first fight, ready to go. Anybody that's been to a boxing event knows full well that people only are really turning up for the main event. Whereas in this instance, they were in from the first fight right to the end. And that then kind of sends me the message that promoters, and I think it kind of is cemented a little bit further down in further further points that they make in this list that we're talking about, that social media presence, social media profiles are incredibly important for the modern way of connecting with fan bases, especially young demographic fan bases, of which I don't think fighters are utilizing enough, whether it be from an educational point of view or whether it just be from lack of interest. It is a key tool to interact, to connect with the next generation of fan, first and foremost. And I think that was the positive that I took away from it. I agree, in essence, quality control. It's not boxing. It's not the best boxing in the world. It isn't even boxing for me. It's celebrity white collar. So I can understand why people might frown upon it, because it's not real boxing. But from an event point of view, brilliant production.
Yeah.
Brilliant the way that it's all put together. And also, this young demographic of fans, that's where we need to be tapping into. We need to be getting those into the game of boxing. They're obviously in on this celebrity YouTuber thing that is currently going on. How do we get them over to the world of boxing? And that's the conversation that I think should be more proactive for fight sports promoters.
Well, there's two things for me. There's one, you know, if they've got influence over, you know, millions and millions of young people, and if they are espousing a healthier lifestyle, which KSI is doing, and being fit and being gym fit. And, you know, like you said, I bounce up to the remote now. I used to kind of like roll over to it. In fact, I couldn't move from my chair to get to the remote control to play my games, all those things. But I was very impressed by them on that. I mean, I've been to a few of those events now, actually working in a working capacity, and I'm happy to say I'm the KSI correspondent next Saturday night when we do the Misfits event again next week. And, you know,
the important thing, from my point of view, the important thing is, you know what it is, right? So therefore, you are careful with your choice of language when you are talking about the event, what it is, in comparison to, for example, in 2 weeks' time after that, Beterbiev and Yard. Completely different. It's completely different. There's a lot of people, though, mate, that are in this game that blur that line. And I think that is a danger, blurring those lines and trying to portray that KSI against whoever is championship boxing. It's not at all. It's celebrity white collar fun. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. None of these guys are ever going to be a British champion. It's just celebrity white collar fun, in my opinion.
You made a big point, Adam, just now about the fact that the boxing world, as the MMA world does, is now social media for those sports is enormous, and not everyone's comfortable doing it. Personally, I'm not comfortable sometimes. You know, we're discussing things later on the show which we haven't commented on this week, like what happened with Dana White and the incident with his wife on New Year's Eve. We're going to talk about that in the very last bit of the show. Stay tuned. We go into that in real depth. But, you know, sometimes we have to realise that linear is one thing, like mainstream television and mainstream news channels, and it's all changing. And these... We do need to keep up with the times, and these are the times. And social media, as you know, you're very active on it. It's part of, and I am, it's very part of our lifeblood. You put your work up there now because it's there to see. And if you don't present it, people don't see it because everyone's in their lane. Everyone's following the things. And as the algorithms of the AI world continue, the things you look at attract with the robot, you know, with the bots, it brings the things to you that you look at on Google or whatever. So to not do that, we need to, that's what I found, that's what I'll put my finger on it. Going to this event with these guys, going to the Last Misfits event, you just learn about a new culture that you actually need to be aware of for your children, your grandchildren, and actually for yourself.
Just quickly, I know that our producer's telling us to break because I think there's further great points on this list. These kind of merge together for me, where we're talking about undercards, we're talking about rivals must meet each other before it's too late, and the calm down with pay-per-view.
Yeah.
This all merges together because I think, from my point of view, there's a lot of fighters at the top end of this game that have an overvaluation of their monetary worth.
Mm.
And what they do is, for example, we saw just at the end of last year, we saw Terence Crawford, who's one of the best fighters on the planet. He fought David Avanesian on a platform that, geez, man, that couldn't scrape 5,000 viewers together, but they paid him $10
million.
Mm-hmm. $10 million for a fight.
As
he claimed that nobody was watching. So when he comes to a conversation about fighting Errol Spence, in his head, he's thinking, well, there's more people going to be watching this. It's a bigger fight. It's a monster fight. I'm obviously going to want more than $10 million. So his starting point is overinflated. And that's the problem that we find ourselves in right now, because then the model has to be pay-per-view. You have to create a pay-per-view model in order to try and subsidize these ridiculous amounts of money that people are demanding for the fights that we want to see. There's got to be a real conversation about how fighters getting paid ridiculous amounts of cash for rubbish fights. It's been happening for far too long, and that's why we find ourselves in the situation we find ourselves in right now.
Absolutely. I mean, lots of the fights that should have been made last year weren't made. That list is like you say, is very accurate. You can't see things outside it. They're there. Rivals mustn't meet, excuse me, before it's too late. And Terence Crawford and Errol Spence, how many times have we mentioned that fight? If it doesn't happen this year, I'm not interested in seeing it. I don't want a Khan Brook 5 years after the date, because they won't even fill a, I don't think, or they will, they'll fill a stadium like Manchester Arena. That should be sold to the world. Do you know what? If they brought that fight here, it would be big.
That's the thing, what you've just said there, right? Outside of our little bubble, you've just been talking about social media. Social media is an echo chamber. If you're following loads of boxing accounts, you're going to get loads of boxing information. That's what you're going to get. And outside of our world, if we went down the street and we started to speak to sports fans or just general people on the street, do you know who Terence Crawford is?
They
do
won't.
Know who Errol Spence is?
They won't.
They do not know who those people are. No. We know them as the best welterweights on the planet. They do not know who those people are. Terence Crawford and Errol Spence will make the money that they want to make in the second fight. That is what will happen. They have to do the first fight, put on a great show, give us an absolute barnstormer, and then the thirst from the mainstream will come in and go, blimey, mate, that were an absolute crackerjack. Let's go again. And that is what will make the money. Very similar to Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder. First fight, Tyson Fury didn't make a ton of cash. Second time around, after he goes on his little American tour with Bob Arum, all of a sudden, and obviously the rising from the dead in the 12th round, we then get the proper money for the second fight. And of course, they go on to a third. That's how you make the dough. But you've got to do the first fight first.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just to finish off on this, because it's actually a fascinating subject, this. Undercards, Ad. You said it just now. What happens in boxing? You mentioned it with KSI and Swarms, that there were, or Deji and Swarms, whoever it was, it doesn't matter what their names are, they're just people in a ring with loads of followers. They were all in there and it was full, rather like a UFC card or an MMA card, where they come to see all the fights, and we need matchmaking to be better, and we'd like to see heavy numbers of fans in the ring early on and not just coming in at half an hour before the main event, you know, because it does make a big difference to the atmosphere. And what it comes down to is having really strong fights on the card. And I've spoken to Frank Warren about this, and he's insistent that he's going to do that this year.
Yeah, and listen, before we move on to the next piece, just a quick one on that. The card on January the 21st by Boxer, which is a Sky event, of course, in Manchester. You've got the main event of Chris Eubank Jr. and Liam Smith. Great main event. You have to back that main event up with good fights on the undercard, and they have. Mm. They've got a fantastic co-main event. They've got Richard Ryakpour, who we've just been speaking to, taking on Christoph Glowacki. You've got at least three really, really good fights there. I'd like four or five, but listen, that's a start. I've been to events this year where the undercard's been absolutely terrible. That is a good start. That's the standard. If we can get at least three real captivating fights for fight fans on every single card, we're going in the right direction. Absolutely. Fingers crossed that does happen.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, from changes to one of the great legends of British boxing, friend of the show, Frank Warren, I caught up with him to try and put a little bit of pressure on to see how near, if it's going to be announced, that Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk are going to fight soon. And is it going to be in the UK or is it going to be in the Middle East? And what does Frank Warren think about Anthony Joshua's year?
You've got this heavyweight stable as well, which is growing and growing. David Adelaide, signing, and we've got a big press conference this week for Moses Itoma, who you're very excited about. What can I just ask you, first of all, what do you do with Daniel Dubois at the moment?
He's with both him and Joe. They've got to tread water with them, because Tyson fights Usyk. I hope we get it over the line. He fights Usyk, then there'll be mandatory defences coming up, and the first one's the WBA according to the rotation system, and then Tyson's going to make a decision whether he wants to fight him or vacate the title if Tyson beats Usyk, and vice versa with Usyk. So they're in really good positions, and Tyson's already said that he does want to fight Joe Joyce, so there's two great fights there with Tyson this year before we even start.
And where are you with Fury and Usyk? I mean, there have been soundings the last week. You've given a couple
we
of...
Sent, we sent them a draft contract. That's where we're at. And listen, it's got to be... Everything's got to be sorted out very, very quickly now because the time is against us.
And is it looking like the UK or the Middle East? Do we know yet? Is there a...
Wherever the most money comes from.
Right. And that offer's in place from the Middle East at the moment, is it?
No, nothing's in place from anywhere outside the UK. We know what it can generate in the UK. But if it goes elsewhere, that depends, again, what the numbers are. And, you know, I know a lot of people complain about it, and I agree it should be at Wembley. I'd love to see it there. But, you know, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman went and fought in Zaire. Then you had the thriller in Manila. They had the big fights in Jamaica. They went where the money was, and these guys would do the same thing.
So what's your instinct on that, though, in terms of having to get it done? Do you want to get it done in the next, kind of the end of
next year? I want to get it out of the way. I'd like to get the fight on in March. Right. And so with Tyson, we just want to get it on in March, and then that set him up for another big fight in the autumn.
And if it is in March, could that still be done in the UK? Or if it was in the UK, would it have to be a little later?
Yeah. No, well listen, we did a show on the 6th of December at Tottenham.
Yeah, that's true. 3rd of December, yeah, that's true. In regards to Eddie Hearn's comments in a recent interview, can you see Tyson and Anthony Joshua fighting in 2023 as well?
No. And I'll tell you why I can't see it. One, you know, Tyson's told me what fights he wants. That's number one. And number two is they don't want the fight. They had a chance to make it for the title. And we went through all that palaver, and Frank Smith, who works with Hearn, came out afterwards and said there weren't enough time, which there was. And we moved the date to December to accommodate them. But more importantly, he hasn't even got a trainer. He never had a trainer then. So why do we all waste our time? He has no trainer. And then I'm hearing that he wants three fights before he even decides to fight Dillian White. I mean, what is that all about? He's the former world champion. He's not some young kid coming back. You know, he should be out, get a new trainer, have a quick fight, and then fight somebody.
I was looking at stars on the wane. And Anthony Joshua's fought twice in the last 2 years. I'm not trying to knock him here, but he's had two losses. The second fight with Usyk was a much better performance. But in terms of Anthony Joshua, I know he's not your fighter, but he really does need a very good 2023 to get back on track.
Well, he does, but you look, he's lost three of his last four. That's what he's done. So that's not exactly showing you that he's in a good place. And he's been there. He's had a good run. He's made a lot of money. He was in the right place at the right time for a couple of fights. But the truth of the matter is, he's not going to beat these guys. You know, they're talking about fighting Dillian White and this, you know, and all the other ones. There's two good fights there that he could have immediately and pick the opponent, either fight Joe Joyce or fight Daniel Dubois. And he won't fight either of them.
You'd put either of those guys straight in with Anthony Joshua, yeah?
Not even an issue for me.
On Joe Joyce, then, when do you expect him to be out next? And
March.
In March as well, on the same card as...
They'll be out roughly March and April between all of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And who... You know, you look down the list there, it's a difficult pick at the moment for him. I know he could fight anyone. I mean, him against Wilder's a massive fight, isn't it? Joyce and Wilder.
It is, but he wants to fight. He's the champion now. The interim champion.
Yeah.
He's got to fight somebody who's in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what he'll do. And he's obviously got an eye on fighting for the full title. Yeah. So what he wants is the direction we're going.
But is there someone you have in mind? I'm looking down the division there.
I'm not even going there yet with that, Gareth. No. We know where we are. We got in our mind what the fights that we want to make, but I've not made them yet, so I don't want to talk about them, and then they don't happen.
Moving on to the young heavyweight who we're all meeting this week, Moses Otoma. You're very, very optimistic that this guy could be the next great thing. Yeah, he's only 18, isn't he?
Well, he's 18 a week ago.
Yeah.
And he sparred with everybody, and the reports that have come back have been unbelievable, and I've seen some of the footage. And also, you can go online and you can see the footage of him in the European Championships where he won the gold medal. He knocked out everybody in the first round, four knockouts in the first round. And he won the World Championships in November, end of November, when he knocked out two and won the other two on points, but had them all over the place. I mean, he is something special. He's only a young man. He's, you know, say he's just turned 18, but he looks something special to me.
Well, one of Frank Warren's fighters, Anthony Yard, of course, takes on Artur Beterbiev for three of the four light heavyweight belts in London late in the month. We are there, of course, live and exclusive. We spoke to Anthony Yard about his second tilt at a world title and why it's different this time around against a different Russian. He lost to Sergei Kovalev, but this time he feels full maturity and he's taking it with both hands.
Very different Christmas, I imagine, this time around for you, mate. Obviously, with the lure of a big world title fight, a different Christmas. You had to stay off the pigs in blankets. Lesson on the on the potatoes on Christmas Day, mate. Stay away from the tiramisu and the trifles. You've got to get keep yourself in top shape for the big fight, my man.
Yeah, no, it wasn't really much different for me, to be honest. I'm not really I haven't really celebrated Christmas that much since I've been like an adult. It was more for the when I was a child, and then now it's more like this for the kids. But if I do eat, it just wouldn't be as often as I usually would eat. You know, with Christmas, you've always got leftovers and things like that. So I had my meal, kept the discipline, and then, yeah, I went to the gym the next day.
Mate, as well as that, your football team are flying as well, pal. You know what I mean? The heart rate, you got to keep that down because the Arsenal are doing the bits as well.
Top of the league. It's fantastic.
Well, hopefully you'll be top of the league on 28th of January. When I saw you and Artur come together in the press conference just before Christmas, you're always cool and you're always calm, and there is an ice about you. And we saw it even when you took on Kovalev, but even more so this time. Do you think that comes from that experience with Kovalev? You now know exactly who you are as a fighter and what you've got to do on January 28th.
I think it's just me as a person. I just feel like I haven't changed. I haven't been fazed by anything. I can't really say why that is. If I think about it, it's probably just things I've been through in my life, how I grew up. And I just see it as like it's opportunity. So when you got opportunity, I just can't understand the concept of being upset at opportunity. So I'm excited. That's more for the last time when I fought Kovalev. It was more like ins and ahs, like, should I be doing this now? Is it too early? But now I'm at that stage in my career where I'm just like, I feel like I'm definitely ready.
Anthony, you should have won that night. You know that. We know that. You know you should have won that night. We discussed it. Do you remember? You came away thinking, damn, I could have got started on this guy earlier and I could have finished him. Do you remember? Do you remember the discussion?
Yeah, I do. But I don't feel like I should have won it, to be honest. I feel like things planned out how they were meant to plan out. You know, they say that I could have won that day and won that fight, and I probably wouldn't be the person I am today.
Correct.
You know, I had a stressful 2022. So things that happen in your life at the time they do, sometimes for a better plan. This is my beliefs anyway. So I don't cry and complain about spilt milk or the past or how it could have been or should have been. I'm thankful enough that I've got the second opportunity, and just like last time, I'm going to just do my best, but this time I feel like it feels right and I'm going to go out there and get the win.
I've got to say, and Adam's the same, we've talked about this before you came on air, we are very excited about the contest. You know, I think you are in your prime now, just entering your prime, and as you've said, my best performances have always been when I've been the underdog. You feel that a little bit going into this, and it'll bring out the best in you?
Oh yeah, definitely. This fight is, you know, there's some people that have completely written me off, which is bizarre. Some people that are, there's a very small amount of people that are confident in me, that I can get it done stylistically. And there's some people saying that it's a massive task, and it is a massive task. It's just boxing. You know, when I got into boxing, I dreamed of being at least this kind of stage, fighting for these unified titles, fighting the best people out there, and then putting my name on the main stage and potentially in history books.
The thing is, Anthony, he's a man at the end of the day. Two arms, two legs.
Starting to sound like Tyson Fury.
Yeah, but it's true. And he is good. Have seen in previous fights that he is hittable and he has been hurt. I refer back to the Callum Johnson fight, for example. What have you seen in his armory that you believe that you could take full advantage of at the end of January?
I think you said it in the first sentence. He's a human being. And stylistically, when you watch boxing, every style is different in boxing, you know. I don't feel like he's fought anyone with my speed and power. And that's, I feel like that's the, for me, that's the key. All he's got on me, in my opinion, is experience. He hits hard, I hit hard. You know, he's got good movement, I've got good movement. Only thing I feel like he's got on me is experience. But what would you have to say on the net? I think for me, it's mentality. I feel like when I land on any light heavyweight, I said this years ago. Any light heavyweight I land on, I'm going to hurt them. And when I do hurt them, just like with the Kovalev fight, I knew I would hurt him at some point. What let me down on that night was my composure. Mm. I'd never been at that stage before, etc. But this time, I feel like I blew up my lesson.
But Anthony, you were also in Russia. You've got home advantage. It's a place you're familiar with. You've spoken about how great it is. I think you started your career there for some reason.
Yeah,
I think in my
it's
head.
Full circle, isn't it?
So yeah. All those things. And I completely agree. There's another thing that he's got on you. 7 years older as well. And some of these guys do have very, very long, decorated amateur careers. And he has had a long amateur career. He's 39 this year. And I agree with you. I think you do have speed over him. And I'm just wondering whether you and Tunde, your trainer, have worked on maybe some agility and a little bit more movement in this fight, maybe, because he's quite static at times as well. I mean, I'd love you guys to go toe-to-toe because it's going to be unbelievable when and if you do during the fight. But is a bit of versatility and movement key here as well?
I feel like everything around the board. I don't feel like he's static at all. I think his stance might be a bit static, but I feel like he's got very, very good movement. I feel like that's something that...
Or it's simple, his movement, isn't it? It's simple, as I see him. I think it's simple style.
I think it's not very flamboyant, but it's effective. You know, they say there's some people that who are, you know, they're very flashy. They do unnecessary movements, etc. But he's got this that school of boxing. You know, the Russian school of boxing, the Ukrainians, they got the same school of boxing, and he switch hits. You know, these little things that I've seen. That it's like you need to pay attention to. He's not just a power puncher. So, and that's, I feel like that's the mistake a lot of people have made going in with him. They just feel like he's a hard hitter, you know, just stay away from him or whatever. I feel like it's not going to be just a head-on-head collision. It's going to be very, very tactical as well. But that's how I fight. I love to fight tactically and land my shot. And I feel like when I do land my shot, I'm going to close the show.
You're both two fighters who have very great, fantastic physiques, and both have chins you can rely on as well. And I think
very fan friendly, aren't they? It's a so fan friendly fight.
I mean, I'm
fans
so
are excited.
I am salivating right now at the thought. Obviously, I want you to win. I want you to be the three belt champion. You've worked so hard. We would love to have you as our champion in this country. And for all all your journey, the journey you've been on, it's so amazing. You know, I mean, we'll talk about it more. I mean, we're there on the night, I believe, outside broadcast for your fight, and it's going to be extraordinary. The hairs on our whole bodies are going to be standing up. It's just one of those nights, and I have a special feeling about this. I think you get the stoppage. I do. I think you get the stoppage in the middle rounds.
Me too.
How lit up has your phone been over Christmas, mate? People are obviously asking for the Anthony R tickets for Christmas, no doubt, and maybe coming straight to the source.
Yeah, you know, it's for me. I just said, everybody, usually I've got tickets on my own website, anthonyyard.com, etc. But this fight, you know, it's the biggest fight in my career. I said I didn't want no distractions. I don't want no selling tickets.
That's fair.
Go online, get the tickets like everybody else. And anyone that I've got tickets for personally, I've gone online myself. I bought them, given them out to my family members, etc. Yes, I get a few complimentary tickets, but majority of the tickets that I've got from family and friends, whatever, I went and bought them myself. And then that was weeks ago, but now it's just focus mode. Anyone that calls me about tickets now, I just laugh my head off.
And if you're listening tonight...
I don't blame you, mate. I don't blame you. Yeah. Leave him alone. He's in camp. Leave him alone, mate. Exactly.
But if you're listening tonight, go and get a ticket for this. It's going to be an extraordinary night.
I don't think you can. I think it's sold out.
It's sold, is it already?
I think it has.
Well, go out and go out and be outside anyway and find a ticket and get in. Cause noise outside. Join us afterwards as we carry the man through the streets.
Exactly. Yeah, for me, it's, as you said, full circle. I started my career there, 2015, and I thought that this is just, it's going to be a net that I'm never going to forget.
Anthony, we wish you well, man. Listen, like you said, we've been on a mad journey with you. And this, like I said 2 minutes ago, it's such a fan-friendly fight. There's not a boxing fan that I speak to that doesn't immediately talk to me about this fight. You against him for the light heavyweight championship of the world. It doesn't get better than that for us anyway to be able to kick off the year in that style. And we hope that it goes your way, my man. Enjoy the rest of camp. I know it's a difficult time now with all the discipline and what have you. But enjoy it. Enjoy the fight week. And we'll see you on fight night, buddy. Take care.
Yes, I'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Top man. There you go. Anthony Yard there joining us ahead of his fight with Artur Beterbiev. January 28th, light heavyweight championship of the world. And as I said a moment or two ago, Gareth, and he's always been mature as Anthony, but there's an added maturity with that experience of the Kovalev fight, the fight that he went through, the two fights that he went through with Linda Arthur. There's an added maturity now. We know exactly who he is. And I'm looking forward to him hopefully putting it all together on the night in front of his home fans.
It's a massive fight. It's a massive fight to have. I think Artur Beterbiev is the only world champion right now to have 18 wins, 100%. 100% knockout ratio.
But Anthony's got 85%, I think. His knockout ratio is 85%, so he can do it.
It's the ultimate test for him. He's not in against Dmitry Bivol, who's the other light heavyweight in the world, 175-pound fighter. That's 12 stone 7, who is out there. And is a trickier opponent for an Anthony Yard. This is a guy, I think Anthony talked him up there, and the reason he talked him up, he's really studied him well. But he's got all the skills and all the abilities and all the power and all the experience now to make it a phenomenal night. And if he really does, he's up against it. I'd still make him the marginal underdog, but I think he can do it. One fight we hope will be on TalkSport. We believe it'll be in early March. It's probably going to be in Scotland because it's Josh Taylor against Jack Catterall. Yes, the Grudge sequel. No one really agreed with the scoring last year. This time it's only the WBO title on the line when those two guys meet. I picked the bones out of the last year with Josh Taylor, and this is what he had to say.
I was riding on a huge wave, crest of a wave, Gareth. You know, I've had an unbelievable career in the space of like 3-4 years, you know, just shot up from, you know, fighting for a Commonwealth title in like my next 7th fight, and then route up to WBC, and then straight into world level against Victor Postol in my 13th fight, and then straight into world titles. I'm a 15th fight, becoming world champion, and then unifying division, 16 fights, and then on to becoming undisputed world champion. You know, I was hitting a real high, you know, and I was on a great roll, and, you know, then COVID hit, and then, you know, obviously haven't boxed properly boxed 3 times in 3 years, which is a real shame and really frustration has been kicking in. But, you know, after being to Vegas, and, you know, I had my sights set on, because I'm an ambition guy, I'm an ambitious athlete, you know, so I want to keep climbing in the sport to keep the hunger, to keep determination, I want to keep achieving more. So I set my sights and setting the goals on becoming a two-weight world champion, you know, moving up to welterweight and trying to challenge for a world title up there against some of the biggest names in the sport.
There was huge fallout from it, of course. You know, it divided the boxing world, and there were accusations that, was it fixed, this, that, and the other? The fallout for you, there was a lot of hatred on you. It affected you very strongly. You and I have spoken about this because it didn't just reach you as a sportsman. It reached you and your partner. There was just the kind of evil, the dark side of social media, isn't it? Yeah. You know, that impinges on people's lives way beyond what is a sporting event at the end of the day.
It's a sport at the end of the day, and it was kind of like, it was mad, you know. Like, it doesn't really affect me what people say about the fight. You know, people's opinions of the fight is people's opinions of the fight. It is what it is. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Jack won the fight. Okay, great. You think I won the fight? Okay, great. You think it could have ended the way? Right, care. That is your opinion of the fight. So, and you're entitled to it. But when people start barraging my family, like we're just bombarding my wife especially, and my little sister, even my mother at times was getting it, but It was mostly my wife and my little sister getting barrages of messages and threats of violence at the places of work. People were showing up at the places of work.
You and he have been face to face this week, you and Jack Catchell. I understand there's no love lost. In fact, it's kind of daggers at dawn, if I can put it that way. Not genuinely daggers at dawn, but this is going to be one of the big, vicious grudge fights when you two step in the ring together.
Yeah, it's business. It's mostly business for me, but it's a little bit personal too, just with all the stuff that's been happening to my family and things like that. You know, that's given me motivation and drive to really, really put on a dominant performance. The things that I think people have said to me and family and stuff, that's just given me, it's just gearing towards him, and I'm pointing it towards Jack's direction, and he's going to get be on the receiving end of a sore beating, and I can't wait to get in there and really punish him this time.
I'm hearing that there was a little bit of hatred behind the scenes. It's not hatred. Okay.
Hatred. I don't hate anyone.
Yeah. But there's, you've got the bit between your teeth for this one though. That there's that idea of complacency is now ridiculous for you. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I learned my lesson that last time around. You know, and I won't be making the same mistake twice. But I'm certainly focused for this one and razor focused on this event. I can't wait to get in there and really do a real good performance this time.
Will you box differently?
Well, I mean,
technically so.
I'll definitely be doing things differently. I definitely do things a hell of a lot better, you know, because I was really poor that fight. And it's clear for everyone to see, you know, how poor I was. Jack seems to think it was just him that made me crap, but there was a lot of other factors in that fight as to why the performance was crap. So this time around, I'm focused on my weight's good. I'm nice and trim and in shape this time, plenty of time out. So yeah, I have got no reason as to why I can't perform at the best of my ability this time. And if he wins, I'll be the first man to shake his hand.
Do you feel like you've sacrificed by letting some of the belts go as well?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But at the same time, yeah, kind of. It is a little bit of a pain in the backside. But I could have had a big fight with, what's his name? Zepeda.
Yeah, you know, I could have been a big Zepeda, fight. Yeah.
I could have went Teofimo Lopez route. I could have been in some big other fights. I didn't have to do this fight, Gareth. If I could have went on and moved on with my career. Although I've been a very bad and poor decision, I still got the result. I could have moved on and said, see you later, I'm on to the next one. But no, I'm going to put this little cloud that's over that last fight to doubt. I'm going to clear the sky.
Will you stay at 140 after this?
I'm not sure. You know, it remains to be seen. You know, we'll see how it goes. I'm not thinking of anything else other than this fight. You know, and I know I'm confident I can make the weight properly and well this time.
Are there fights you'd like to see?
I'd like to see the Spence Crawford fight. You know, yeah. Obviously, been talked about for a long time. So yeah, I would like to see that one. That would be a good fight.
And the undisputed heavyweight fight, given that you've done a bit of body sparring with the big Gypsy King.
Yeah, that would be a good one to go on as well. That would be quite a big fight. That would be an interesting fight as well. But I think the big man Fury is just a little bit too big for him. But you know, I think Usyk has the style and the boxing brain and the movement and agility to give Tyson huge problems as well. But I just think, it's that old saying, as Tyson says as well, a good big one always beats a good little one. But that's what makes it interesting, because the two of them are so good. But me personally, I just think that Tyson's maybe just a little bit too big for him.
And finally this week, we discuss a massive moment in the world of UFC, the altercation between Dana White and his wife that went public. Many, many views and points of view about this. Adam and I take an adult look about a very serious situation for Dana White and the UFC.
Now, first and foremost, what I want to say, online, it's been a real disheartening place to be this week, reading people's views on this particular subject. In the immediate aftermath, we saw Dana White himself. He came out, he offered no excuses whatsoever, and he took full accountability of the situation.
there are people that have been online, fighters, there have been pundits, there have been people from the MMA fan world that have been offering excuses for the actions of Dana White on that particular night. And I find that disgusting. I really do. And I think that anybody that has offered excuses for that behavior, when the man himself is not offering excuses for that behavior, needs to give their head a real check and maybe have a little bit of a word with themselves as to what they actually stand for in this world. I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But secondly, the thing that I find most concerning, Gareth, is the silence. The silence from Endeavor, the people that own the UFC, the silence from the UFC, the silence from ESPN. The fact that, obviously, they got ahead of this. They were obviously tipped off that TMZ, the American broadcaster, had a copy of this video. They've gone to Dana White. Dana White's offered up a statement straight away, as has his wife. So it all came out at the same time. So it kind of softened the situation, which I thought, you know, nobody else would have really been offered that situation, but Dana White was offered that situation. And that has come out, and now people have got their opinion on the situation. The way that they have handled this over the last 4 to 5 days, and I hope that this changes over the next 2 to 3, just goes to prove to me that the attitudes towards the UFC, first and foremost, are not that it's not a premier sports franchise. The reason why I say this is because if the president of the NFL, for example, or the president of the NBA, or the person that runs football here in the UK would have been caught doing the exact same thing that Dana White has been caught doing, they would not be in their position now. They would have been removed from their position, and the sport would have taken action on the moment, and the situation would have been dealt with in what I would class as a professional manner. This has not been the case here, which is incredibly concerning. MMA gets a bad rap in the mainstream in general, with people thinking it's thuggery and barbaric and all this type of thing. The optics of the president doing what he's done in this situation does not look good for this sport going forward. This is a big, big moment, and I think that they've handled it incredibly poorly.
Yeah, I agree with all the things you've said, Adam. And you know, let's not make bones about this. Dana, you know, I've known him probably nearly 20 years now. Dana is the biggest name in mixed martial arts. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
As big as any fighter. He is the leader in many ways of the sport. He's the changeling. He's the pioneer. He's all those things with Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta all those years ago. Obviously, they've sold the company since. And as you say, Dana went with Endeavor as well. I completely and wholeheartedly agree with all your points there. What I would add to that, obviously, anyone online, like I say, I've read a lot online as well, and I haven't put views out either because I don't want to do it in 140 characters in a tweet. That's not where to do it. We're talking about it humanely and honestly and maturely now when we've got time to do it in on our own show. It's an unforgivable act. Penance must be paid. Like you said, there was a very soft approach to it. With I think the head of TMZ doing an interview with Dana White, you do not slap a woman back. It was two slaps. It was on the video. You don't do that back. You can't condone that. Like you say, there's been a lot of media silence. There's also been a lot of softness from some very senior. I'm not going to mention anyone, but from very, very senior journalists, kind of not excusing it. Obviously, they're not excusing. No one's excusing it completely.
But silence just, is deafening, isn't it?
It is.
Silence is deafening.
And like you say, it was on. You know, it was on First Take in America, and you have prominent people on there, very prominent people in America, kind of saying, "Look, I'm friends with." Well, so exonerate yourself from the situation. Don't comment on it. Get someone in there who's going to say what really ought to be said. Can't condone what happened. He will have huge regret over it, Dana White, as will probably Anne, his wife. I had the pleasure of meeting her and their children once back in the day where I had a lunch with...
My big concern of it is we've experienced this with fighters, haven't we? I mean, we've just been through a thing over the last year with John Jones, for example, again, another domestic violence case. And we've seen it on countless occasions in the past with fighters at being linked to domestic violence. Now, the problem is that...
It's not going to go away for him. It's not going to go away, is it?
Of course. And we've seen in the past that Dana White has obviously addressed these issues about fighters. He's the president of the company. We look to him for guidance. We look to him to be the shining light, don't we? And he obviously casts judgment or casts penance or casts aspersions on other people's situations and rules how they then integrate into the UFC. My problem with it is now is that if he remains in position, and I think he will remain in position, how then do we tackle domestic violence issues that fighters get themselves involved in going forward? And even, it's near enough impossible
and
to
even,
do.
And even more than that, Adam, you know, the I think, in my view, Dana has to come out and be very public about it. He's got to be public about it. Like you say, he's commented before in the past. This is a guy who has something like 17 million followers, and he's an extraordinary character. He's a very, very influential man. You know, I mean, I'm reading some of the things and reminding myself of some of the things this week. Close to Donald Trump, President of the United States, close to so many big figures, Hollywood stars. He is one of the big names globally, not just in sport, but in America. And I think... Yep. Also, what's fascinating, and this is a kind of media thing that hasn't been reported here in the mainstream media. We've had it on Sky Sports News. Imagine, I don't want to pick Sir Alex Ferguson, but imagine someone with that kind of resonance had a similar situation. There would be a relentless call for the knighthood to be removed and the person to be removed from their role or their chairmanship and all those things. It hasn't been anywhere.
Yeah.
Very serious note to end on there, but you've been listening to the Fight Night podcast with me, Gareth Davis, Adam Catterall, my co-presenter, of course, always with me. Don't miss out. We're every week. And next weekend, we are live at Misfits. Come and join us live on TalkSport.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.